Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR 96.3, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, shopping during the Christmas holidays for gifts and for ourselves, we know it can be fun, especially when you catch those great sales. But then Christmas has passed, and we look at our bank account balances that are now low and credit card balances, which are now high. Oops, we've overspent. We're in a financial hole. What do we do now? And how do we get back on that good financial track, especially moving into 2023? If you're one of those in that financial funk right now, we have some guidance and important information for you tonight. We'd like you to be part of the conversation. Phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Share your stories with us on maybe how you got in that hole or stayed out of it and can help others. Or if you just need some guidance and some answers to how you can get back on track, tonight is the night. Joining us tonight on the phone line is LaShawn Holland. Ms. Holland is a wealth coach and an author. Again, phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. LaShawn, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, LaShawn, I have set it up. So the Christmas holiday season, it was a blast. We had fun. We had parties. We traveled. We bought gifts. We had gatherings. And now we look and see our money just isn't right. What are the first steps we need to do if we are in that Christmas debt to get out of it?
Well, I think the first step to do if your money is funny and after Christmas your change is strange is to really recover your money. Like, where are you? You got to know the damage that you did, right? And most people are not that intimate with their money where they know that's how we overspend. And so if you didn't have a plan of how much money you have set aside during the year, if you don't have a Christmas account and you overspent, you got to know where you are. And so I would say take your statement out and see how much you spent, where you are, what you have left over. And then there are other steps that we need to take. But you really do need to know the damage that you created and create a plan to prosper. And so you need a complete picture of where you are before you can devise a plan to come out of it.
Okay, so LaShawn, how come most of us don't know before we get there? You know, you said most of us don't know, we don't keep track. You know, why is that? I know we talk about this, you know, every year, and you would think, you know, things would get better, but it's kind of the same story, right? Folks just don't know. Is it because of the holiday we don't really want to know? Is that fair?
I don't think it's the holiday. I think the holiday is just a reason for it. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know where you are with your money, you don't know how much goes in, how much you have coming out. If you don't track your money like that, then it's easy for you to do. And most people don't have the mindset and healthy financial habits to be able to cultivate, you know, the plans that they need and for their money.
So, LaShawn, why do people overspend, especially during the holiday season? Is it about just feeling good? Is it about guilt that I've got to get stuff? Is it about not having good financial literacy? How would you pinpoint it?
I think it can be a combination of all of that you just said. We are not used to having crucial cash conversations in families. And so I remember years ago, you know, over 2-3 decades ago, when my husband and I first got married, my literal budget for Christmas was $72.
Ooh.
$72. And so I knew how much money I had to work with. We were new. I was freshly out of college, newly mm-hmm. married. We weren't making a lot of money. And so I just wrote down all the names of the important people that I wanted to be able to get a gift for, and then how much money I had And then I divided it, and I knew going to the mall or going online how much I had for each person to spend. And so I had a guideline of what it is that I want to do. And it's one of the things that I talk to my clients all the time about doing. You have to know where you are and what you have to be go out and spend. If you don't have enough to, and all last week, the past 2 weeks, I've been having this conversation with people. If you don't, you got to pick up the phone and have that conversation.
That was the next thing I was going to ask you, LaShawn. Do you have to tell folks ahead of time, your loved ones, your friends, your family, hey, look, money is tight this year, so don't expect anything real big. It may be coming from love. Do you have to say that ahead of time? Is that necessary?
Absolutely. Whether we're headed into a recession or not, we should have those conversations if you really can't afford it. And listen, most people should be able to understand. If they don't, then that's their problem. It's not yours. You shouldn't allow other people to make you ashamed because you want to stay on track with your money.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The holidays aren't fully over, but the big chunk in terms of when we spend money, we're past that now. Christmas season is over. And where are you financially? Did you have a budget, like LaShawn Holland said you should have? How did it work for you? Did you not have one and now you're in debt and you want to figure out how to get out, or you just want to share your story with us? We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. LaShawn, many of us, if money is tight, and we feel we've got to get something for folks that we want to get gifts for, and we have credit cards, right? And now we sort of run up that credit card. And we all know that's, you know, with the interest rates, that's the one place where you don't want to have a whole lot of debt. But now you've got it. And you see this plan where, hey, you can get this credit card, consolidate your old credit card with this one where your interest rate is lower, or you have several credit cards. What do you do? Should you combine it, number one? And should you just pay off a little bit if you have two or three credit cards with debt, or find the one that has the highest interest rate? I'm throwing a couple questions at you, but I'm sure you're used to that.
You are absolutely doing it. And there are a couple of different ways that you can do it. It depends on what it is that you're, you know, the desired outcome that you want. And so if you want to be able to pay it off fast, you're going to go with whether you want to get out of debt quickly or, you know, have it not affect your credit score so much. You're going to look at your interest rates. And so if you don't care about the speed in which you get out of debt, you're going to find the one with the highest interest rate. And that is the one that you're going to tackle first. If you want to be able to pay this off fast, you look for the one that is the quickest that I can get rid of. Like, which one has the lowest balance that I can knock off first? Because Fair Isaac loves zero. And so, and that gives you motivation to keep going. Hey, I was able to do this one. Let me tackle the next one that has, you know, the next lowest balance, mm-hmm. and let it snowball from there.
So even if one is a lower balance, say you got three credit cards, right, and you owe on three, and one has the lowest balance, but it also has the lowest interest rate, you still should try to pay off the one that has the least amount on the balance sheet. Am I hearing that correctly?
Absolutely. If your goal is to pay it off quickly, is mm-hmm. to be able to raise your credit score quickly, if that's not the issue and you want to tackle the one that has the highest interest rate first, especially now because interest rates have increased significantly, right? Mm-hmm. We have the highest interest rates that's coming down the pike, and they're going to be raising them more. And so your strategy may switch. Maybe I don't care about my credit report right now. Not saying that you shouldn't care about it because you should. But right now, I'm going to go with the one that can get me to zero the quickest.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight, LaShawn Holland. She's a wealth coach and an author. So now is your time, as I'd like to say, to get your free advice. If you want to get out of debt, know how to get your budget together, LaShawn is here to help you with that. We're going to go to the phone lines, and Keela is calling from the district. Go right ahead, Keela, with your question or comment.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me. I just wanted to make a comment because I'm on that stage right now where credit card amount is high. So my advice to people out there is keep your credit cards home or have them cut off until you pay them off, or request a new one, or plan your day when you think you need cash, you know, bring that cash, but don't overspend. So
now,
hopefully
Keila,
that helps others.
Keila, you said you've cut up your credit cards, but do you plan once you pay them off to then have a new one sent to you? Or do you plan to keep them in the trash?
That's just like a motivation thing for me. You know, I don't recommend it. I mean, if people don't want to get their cards cut off, you don't have to do it. But for me, it's a mental thing. Oh, my card is cut off. I have absolutely no choice but to, you know, save.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you, Keila, for that advice. And I'm going to come back to you, LaShawn, based on what Keila had said. You cut up your credit card. Obviously, that keeps you from using it, even though you can order another one. But should you, once you cut it up and you paid it off and you got that Christmas debt off of one card, should you cancel the card or keep that card open with no balance on it, but just don't order a new one?
No, absolutely keep the card. Listen, your credit score is determined. The biggest portion of your credit score goes off of your history. So depending on when you got that credit card, if you close the account out, that can drop your credit score.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pay it down to zero and just keep it. You don't have to do anything with it, depending on how long you had it. And so I would not advise people to cancel their cards because your credit is going to take a hit if you've had that card for a long time. And 30% of your credit score is made up from your history, the time, how long you've actually had that credit.
What's the key for us overspending, LaShawn? Is it one thing? I know I kind of hit that a little earlier, but is it kind of one thing, or is it, or are we going back to the budget, or is it too much to pinpoint it on one thing?
I think it has to deal with mindset and your relationship with money, right? Your money zones. Oftentimes people who are struggling, whether it's anxiety, it's worry, it's stress, you know, you hear people call it retail therapy. That's not a funny matter for me, because there is a deeper issue. There's a root cause. And so a lot of times people overspend because of their financial blueprint. And so your money blueprint is really formed by the things that you saw growing up about money. How did your parents handle money? Did your parents argue over money? Was it plenty? Did you guys live in scarcity? Like, all of these play into how I treat my money and my relationship with my money. And so the beginning is, I got to go back and look at my mindset. What did I see about money growing up? What did I hear? And then what has been my experiences?
You use the term, you know, the damage has now been done. So, right, we're talking postscript. But every year, many of us say, okay, I listened to the Daily Drum Insight segment. I heard it last year. Next year, you know, I am not going to do this. I heard LaShawn Holland. She's a wealth coach and author. She had some great advice, and I'm going to do things differently. And then 2023 ends, and we're on the air, and LaShawn is our guest, and folks are calling in, and they've done the same thing. So what are the steps to keep us from not doing it? You've given us a few. But what are the things we should be thinking about to say to get us out of that habit, for lack of a better word?
Really going back to, like I just said, looking at my mindset. What is my relationship with money? What has my relationship been? And then make a decision to really create healthy financial habits. All right. You got to have a vision for your money so you won't end up in the same place. If I don't change my habits that I have now, a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, I'm going to be looking at the same thing. And so cycles tend to repeat itself unless it's disrupted. And so there has to be a disruption. So make a decision to create healthy financial habits and then create a plan to be able to increase your income. Listen, right now where we are in this economy, everybody needs to be thinking of ways to create multiple revenue rivers and increase their income, because there's nothing going on right now in the world of money that increasing your income won't help you or solve for 98%ers, right? And so you have to figure out, okay, what do I have in my hand right now that I can do to generate some extra income coming in my house?
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We all want some extra income coming into our house. And how do we do that? Let's go back to the phone lines. And Teresa is calling from the district. Go right ahead, Teresa, with your question or comment. Teresa, maybe.
Oh, I applaud her. I just turned the radio on and I was listening. I just happened to drop my granddaughter off, and when I turned the radio on, she was talking about, you know, Christmas and spending, and I was like, wow, that I needed to hear that, because I actually did overspend. Usually I plan early. I shop in September and October, you know, early to get it out the way. But this year I put myself in a hole by buying gifts, and that's something that I do, and I need to, I know what to do. I just need to do it. So
what do you need to do, Teresa, if I'm pronouncing it?
I need to budget. I need a budget. I don't have a budget. I don't. And I have credit cards. You know, I only have two, and I have, you know, retail cards, but I treat those good. I know how to manage those. And sometimes I say, okay, well, I got a credit card. I can just charge it or, you know, use it. But, you know, really, reality, you have to still pay it back. It's still your money because you got to pay it back. So I learned that, and it's just me spending. It's just me spending. And I really do need to sit down and do. I have done a budget before with the HPOC program, planning to buy a home, and it's a lot. And sometimes I just want to shut it out and say, no, I ain't there yet, because it's like a headache. But it needs to be done, because, like she said, I mean, and then it goes back to what she said the first one. How was your growing up in your household? Did your mother and father, you know, my mother and father made ends meet, but we wasn't rich. You know, we wasn't poor either. So, but it plays in a lot of parts. And in the type of help you got, I'm married. My husband likes to shop. I'm telling him, I'm trying to get a house. We can't live out these shoeboxes and these labels.
All right,
that's not me no more. I don't do it. I just want to be happy, comfortable, and have what I want for my grandbabies and my little one.
All right, well, Teresa, good luck with you and the husband on your holiday shopping, and your husband sounds like who just likes to shop. And we can get into that also, LaShawn. Just, you know, couples, we kind of sort of think individually, but you know, if you're married or you have a significant other and you both are in the household, how we're spending money, how are we going to budget for 2023? If folks don't know what to do, where can they go get help? So we want to talk a little bit about that. But we're going to take a break. So don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insights segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone line, stay right there. That includes you, Dee Dee, you, Leslie, you, we just finished talking to Teresa. But stay right there. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. The original Quiet Storm is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment, and tonight we're talking about sort of revamping your budget if it has gone off track following the holiday spending spree. How to manage your money as we move into 2023, especially if you've gone off track with your holiday spending. Now you're trying to get back on track. Or if you've never been on track, how do we get you on a track? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Joining us tonight for this conversation and helping to guide it, really, is LaShawn Holland. She's a wealth coach and an author. She'll share with us how to stick with your financial plans going into the new year, and, you know, why and how folks struggle with their finances. Again, phone lines are open. I'd like to hear from you. How are your finances here in the holiday season? What do you need to know? What do you need to do? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines, and Leslie is calling from Columbia. Go right ahead, Leslie, with your question or comment.
Yes. My husband and I have pretty much maintained a fairly decent financial situation. We don't have a lot of bills, and we don't overspend. But now that I am going into retirement, one of my biggest bills is a mortgage. And I was wondering the thoughts about paying off a mortgage during retirement.
Good question. What would you suggest, LaShawn?
I think, again, there are other questions that I will ask, but paying off a mortgage going into retirement is one of the smartest things that you can do. Most people don't plan that far ahead. and they don't know, how do I want to live in my future? How do I want to live in my golden years? Do I want to travel? You have to plan for that. And so for most people, taxes, debt, and their mortgage is their largest expenses. And because you don't have a lot of bills, you don't overspend, you can work on paying your mortgage. That way, when you get into your retirement years, you're not strapped because your bills didn't change. And you don't have to worry about being at Walmart handing out the yellow happy faces. I'm not condemning anybody that is their plight, but I think paying off your mortgage is a great strategy for you going into your retirement.
And Leslie, had you thought about doing this even prior to retirement? Because I know a lot of people, mortgage often, and LaShawn, you can correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of folks will say a mortgage is good debt. Is there such a thing as good debt? And would a mortgage fall into that category, if you would agree?
There is a such thing as good debt, and there's a such thing as bad debt. And mm-hmm. most of the time, we are led to believe that our home is an asset. I disagree. The definition of an asset is something that puts money in your pocket, and a liability is something that takes money out of your pocket. And so asking me to, I want to keep my mortgage so I can get a discount is like me saying, okay, if I give you $50, you give me $50 and I'm going to give you $25 back. Who's going to do that? Like, if someone was to walk up on the street and give you that offer, would you take it?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is no. And so it depends, again, on the vision that you have for your money and your life. Where do you want to be in your future? And so when you look at wealthy people, they make different decisions versus, the mass majority of people. And so your mortgage, if it's not making you money, then it falls into that category. And that's the same thing for years. Robert Kiyosaki has been saying that. And so I think it's important for you to own your own home. Home ownership is a wonderful thing. But looking at it as an asset, I just view things a little bit differently. I'm an outlier in that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't like owing money either. And owing money on my home, ugh. I've always said if I could pay that off, Leslie, I hope to get to your point where I can do it early, because you're paying all of that interest also. So good luck to you, Leslie, and thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
All right. Thank you.
All right. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking money management tonight, post-Christmas holidays. I'm going to jump back, LaShawn, in sort of the Christmas thing just for a second. And we talked about sort of in the future, right, setting up a budget. And for Christmas, telling folks, hey, here's the money I have. Here's what kind of gift you may have. What about setting up special like holiday savings accounts, where you put a certain amount away every week, say $25 or $50 every paycheck? Is that another way kind of to manage your money for the holidays, see what you're saving and preparing for what you may spend?
Absolutely. I mentioned that earlier in one of my comments, that setting up a Christmas account.
There are so many banks out here
that actually have Christmas accounts and holiday accounts where you have a predetermined amount where it's automatic, because automating your savings is a very smart thing to do. And so you're not safe at the end of the year with having to come up with, $1,000 or however much your spending plan is for Christmas. So, yes, Christmas accounts. Setting up a Christmas account, there's so many online options for you, but I would start with contacting my bank first to see if they offer a Christmas account, and then automate the process.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines, and Mike is calling from Fort Belvoir. Go right ahead, Mike, with your question or comment.
Hey, appreciate it. I want to just chime in. What really helped me the most was I did all my shopping a little bit differently. So what I did was all the Christmas shopping, I would do it during the summertime. And then the wintertime, I would do all the summertime shopping. And so basically during the holidays, say like January, I would put like a surplus of $10 and save it all up until I get to the summertime month. And I will have a list of people that I'm going to give gifts for. Everybody else is like, okay, can't get it, all right, that's it. And I will make sure I check monthly to make sure that my surplus is good enough to where I can give people gifts. If I can't get it, I just can't get it. So that's been a little something that has helped me, and maybe it can help other people. And another thing I would tell others is, you don't have to go all out. What you could do is, in the process, is buy gift cards. You know, like, everybody pretty much, you know, uses them. And plus, it doesn't, you know, hurt my budget. And so that was something that the military has taught me over time, is basically, you know, try not to, you know, allocate all your assets into all this stuff, because the thing is, you still got to compensate for the following year when the bill comes out, and then it's like, okay, yeah, I got to pay all this interest and all that stuff. So I just want to just relay that, and I do appreciate the program. This is my first time actually listening to it from Fort Belvoir. Other than that, I appreciate it, and listen to you guys offline. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike. He brings up an important point, LaShawn, when Mike was talking about gift cards. I mean, it's still money, but are gift cards a way to save, or do they serve a purpose in helping you to budget, or is gift cards just another, you know, cash exchange, and we should look at it in that way?
It is another cash exchange, but I would say that when you look at the numbers of how much people spend in gift cards that go unused, on wasted money. Hello?
No, I think that was, we lost Mike. Go okay. Right ahead, LaShawn. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, yes, it becomes wasted money. And so maybe a better use of your money is to ask people. I do have people, family members and friends that I buy for, who will tell me I would like a gift card to whatever store that they shop at. But when you look at it, the majority of the gift cards that are purchased, according to the statistics, I was looking at it earlier, millions of dollars of gift cards are purchased every day. They go unused. Hmm. And so maybe a better way to spend your money, if you don't have a lot, would be you can also make a gift. Offer services to someone. You know, I have a client that actually agreed to clean one of her family members' homes as a Christmas gift for her.
Hmm.
You know, she was a new mom. It just had a newborn, and so that was her Christmas gift. So there, you have to be, when resources are low, you have to be resourceful. And so there are other things that you can give that can be deemed as a gift that doesn't cost you anything.
And we're asking folks, LaShawn, as we're talking about, you know, ways to maybe change your wayward ways next year. And I know we're asking people also to think about, you know, a year ahead next year, how to go about doing things. And listen, from a consumerism point of view, stores, right, they know how to pull folks in and to maybe spend more than what they want, right? Those psychological maneuvers that stores will get you to do. How do we keep ourselves from succumbing to that? Or is that just too deep of a psychological kind of premise?
Absolutely not. You got to make a list and stick to your list. I mean, they literally, those are professionals. Stores hire people
right.
For marketing.
Marketing, and so, right.
And if you have a smartphone, they are listening to you. They are following you. They are tagging you. And so they know the things that you like. And so the things that ads that come up on your cell phone or when you're on social media platforms, that is by design. It is strategic. Because, you know, the marketing or, let's say, the business world wants you to stay on the consumer side. It's really, you said it, it's consumerism versus being producer.
202. I'm sorry. Go right ahead, LaShawn. I'm sorry.
No. One of the things that my husband and I made a decision to do years ago was to only buy assets for our kids and not just consumable items.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, assets that will bring them money.
How did that go with them?
Absolutely. My kids were, you know, they didn't have a choice. They grew up in a household where our conversation, we talk about money, we talk about business, we talk about investing absolutely every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So they grew up not knowing anything different. They're grown adults now, but they didn't know anything different. Saturday mornings, they knew they were coming to money school. They were coming in my office and we were going to learn about money. We were going to learn about assets and investing. And so, you know, they're outliers too, because I realized that not everybody, you know, had, and I did that with my kids because growing up, no one taught me about money.
Mm. And so that's so important. And I want to move on to that next aspect, because I think you were just taking me there. It's sort of a two-parter. I think we had another caller say that. I think it might have been Leslie, who was saying, you know, her husband likes to shop and he spends. She spent too much during the holidays, but she, and Leslie, I apologize if you weren't the one.
No, it was Teresa. I think it was Teresa.
Teresa, that's right. Oh, you were on it, LaShawn. You're really listening. right. She said, like, I didn't really have that. And so you didn't. But now you are a wealth coach and an author. So how did you get it, LaShawn? And how does Teresa get it, or Teresa?
You know, for me, it happened because I had my first son, and I knew that I wanted to be able to give him the advantage in life,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted my ceiling to be as floor. And in order for me to be able to give him the advantage in life, I had to start making very different decisions. And one of the decisions that I made is I had to be able to master my money. I believe that your money doesn't need management in an economic cycle like this. It needs mastery.
Hmm.
And so I set my intentions to learn all that I could, you know, about money. And that was the shift for me. The shift was because I wanted to give my kids the advantage in life. I didn't want them to start from ground zero. And if we don't learn how to fix our issues that we have with money, the cycle just repeats. And then, you know, our kids start from ground zero all over again. I just didn't want that. And you got to be intentional about wanting something different.
And
budget plans only take you so far. At some point, you have to make a decision to increase.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight, we're talking about money management. The Christmas holiday is over. You spent, maybe you didn't spend too much, and you're doing well. And some of us have spent too much, and we do this over and over. And now we're trying to reset as 2023 is only 4 or 5 days away. And so our conversation tonight is about how do we get there? The damage has been done. What do we do now? How do we do better? Phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight is LaShawn Holland. She's a wealth coach and an author. We're going to take a quick timeout. This is the Insight segment. But again, we'd like to hear from you, questions or comments. 202-319-7810. We'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about money management after the holiday spending spree. You spent too much, your bank account is low, your credit card balance is high. What do you do now after all of that damage? And that's what we're talking about. A little guidance, a little information for you tonight. Phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you, your questions, your comments, 202-319-7810. LaShawn Holland, wealth coach and author, is in the house, and so is Sharon, who's on the phone lines calling from Upper Marlboro. Go right ahead, Sharon, with your question or your comment.
Good evening. I'm enjoying the show. This is my first time listening. But I wanted to know, how does paying off all of your credit cards affect your credit score?
Great question. I'll let LaShawn take that one.
Yep. Paying off all your credit score, all your credit cards will, you know, increase your credit score. And so if you are paying everything on time, not just your credit cards, if you don't have any credit cards, I know, you know, I've counseled people, I've had clients that didn't have any credit cards and still have bad credit. So canceling all your credit cards paying off all of your credit cards is a great thing, yes.
Were you concerned about not doing that, Sharon? Or I'm interested in when you were asking that question. Had you heard something separate about maybe you should have balances?
No, I've always been current. I have great credit. I've worked very hard to keep my credit. Always paid everything on time, but I came up with a plan last year to pay them all off.
Mm-hmm.
Because with the interest rates being so incredibly high,
I
decided that I was going to pay all of them off. Mm-hmm. And I was reading online where it will increase your credit score, but it takes about a year. you shouldn't cancel those cards once you've paid them off, because that lowers your credit score. So I just wanted to know what the facilitator's take was on that.
Well, LaShawn, it sounds like Sharon has got it all. He's checking all the boxes.
Absolutely. Sharon knows exactly what she's doing. We talked about that earlier, Sharon, how, you know, what affects your credit score and how canceling your credit cards actually lowers your score. So you're absolutely correct.
All right, Sharon, stay on the right track. You're my new hero. I got to follow your path. I wish I could pay off all my credit cards.
It was a long journey, trust me.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm still on that journey, but thank you for calling. And keep listening, Sharon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Phone lines are still open, folks. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. LaShawn, if folks are listening, right, and even if they're not listening and they're thinking, okay, you know, Ms. Holland, she's got a lot of great advice, you know, but, you know, I live in Connecticut or I live in South Carolina. In general, where can folks go if they need help and they realize they just can't do the things on their own that you have talked about we need to do to make sure we are financially sound?
Absolutely. And so I deal with, I come from, when I wrote my book, with the assumption that whoever's picking up the book, no matter where you are in life.
And tell us the title of that book, LaShawn.
Yes, my book is called Born to Multiply, and you don't have to use your credit card because I'm giving the book away for free, along with over $300 worth of bonuses with that. But in the book, I actually talk about the importance of being intentional with your money. And so most financial experts are advising people about the power of budgets, whereas I'm an outlier in that I just believe in being able to increase. And so, you know, even with the recession are coming, recessions are for expansion. That's my viewpoint on it. I've been able to double, triple, quadruple my money, even in the last recession that we did. And so I don't believe you need more than a budget, because you don't budget your way to financial peace and freedom. You expand your way. And if you want to turn around with your money, to seek a turnaround, you do that through books and seminars and events and conferences and coaching from someone who knows what you don't know to fill in the gap.
Very important. I appreciate you saying that. What's how important is having an emergency fund? And you may have sort of mentioned it with a different, you know, title. We tend to hear emergency fund. How important is it to have one of those?
Yes, emergency fund. I don't like that some people call it rainy day fund. Mm-hmm. I like to call it a sunny day fund.
Okay.
But it's very important. I think it's important for, you know, one of the things that we do with our clients is we help them come up with a way that they can put away a year's worth. It doesn't happen overnight. But I believe in this day and time that saving is not just for the purpose of saving. You do need an emergency fund. I remember when I resigned from my job, had I not had money put aside, I wouldn't have been able to make it. And so back then I had, you know, enough to be able to go 3 years. Everybody doesn't have that. And so starting with what you have, where you are right now, is very important. If you don't even know how to save, if you contact me, DM me, find me on social media, and send me a DM, I can actually give you at no cost the same plan that I put my clients on for being able to save money.
LaShawn, Sharon, we've had a couple folks, you know, talk about credit cards, and Sharon, you know, was our last, and as we mentioned, Sharon is fully on the right track. In old school, you know, I can just talk about my mother and my mother-in-law. You know, you talk about credit. They both have outstanding credit, and they want to keep it that way. I mean, their credit score is so high, you figure you can take a little hit. And they're like, no. You know, you talk to old school folks, it's a credit, you know, is everything. Get your credit good, and you can go far. But if your credit score is bad or somewhere in the middle, what would be your advice to folks on how to rebuild it?
Being able to expand. Listen, I didn't get out of debt by a budget. I know people will be like, oh my gosh, she's a financial expert, but I got out of debt. I expanded my way out. I You know, my husband and I started a business, and we were able to pay stuff off quicker.
Okay.
Doing that. I giggled when you said that because that's the same advice that my grandparents gave me growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Always make sure that I have something left over. My grandfather was really big on saving money, and my grandmother was really big on having your credit.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it depends on your vision and where you want to go for your life. Having good credit is excellent. But, you know, there are some people that live by, I haven't used a credit card personally in 25 years.
Wow.
But I also haven't gone without. I do everything with cash. It's just how I was trained.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once I got out of debt, I didn't want to fall back into debt. And then I got so used to not using credit, you know, it was natural for me. When I spoke on stage recently and said I hadn't used a credit card personally
people
over
fell,
25
people
years,
fell
the
over.
Audience, listen, the well, audience
yeah.
went,
yeah, you almost got me on that.
Wrong.
I know, because look, I'm ready to go on one more level because I want to be sure. Now, do you use your debit card or you literally use like paper money?
No, I use my debit card.
Okay, you do use your debit card because I'm about to say now, LaShawn, if you don't even use a debit card, you are so far beyond the rest of us. But we do know that's cash.
I'm not walking around in 2022, 2023 with cash.
Okay, all right. You know, I don't carry much cash either. But even, you know, as we know, debit cards can be dangerous because, you know, we slide that. We've got that. I just got mine with that little, what's that little magic thing? You don't even have to put it in a machine.
You just wave it.
Yeah, you just tap the thing. And I thought, oh, my Lord. Everything is so fast and so quick.
Yep.
It can really be a trap, right? Even just the process of spending money is so easy. I would think that is even that psychological part of it, too, where you have to be careful. That's why I was asking you, do you literally even have paper money? Because you sound like a person who would be like, if I could just use paper money, I would do that to keep control of
how
much money I'm spending.
I do use my debit cards, but my money is also segmented.
Mm.
And so I realize that it is very easy to swipe, you know, and not account for your money, but
mm-hmm.
my money is segmented. And so I know what I have in that account, and I make sure that I do my reconciliation.
Mm. Now, listen, before we go, you've mentioned your husband, and we've had a couple people mention spouses. And as we move into 2023, what's your advice to folks who have a significant other and you may kind of have different money management ideas?
Yeah.
How do we get on one accord?
Yeah, different blueprints. Most people are, when they get married, that's one of the things that a lot of times they don't have the crucial conversation is how you're going to handle the money in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important that you feel open enough and you got to create. Let me say this first, because my husband and I cancel a lot of couples around the area of money, because money is one of the number one reasons for divorce. It's not infidelity. It's financial issues. And so I have to know, when we started out, it was important. I sat down to figure out what my money blueprint was. My husband sat down, figured out what his money blueprint was. Unity is very important where money is concerned, especially if you want to be able to grow it. And so once we knew where our blueprints were, we were like, okay, now it's time for me to come up with a vision. Oftentimes people don't know what they get what they want because they don't know what they want. Your money needs a vision that goes beyond the mall. So that's the first thing. I knew I wanted to have a vision and making sure that we communicated and we were on the same page. And so if I read a new book on finances, I would share it with him. Sometimes he would read a book and he would share that knowledge with me. And it was just very important that you make sure that you're on the same page, that you understand a person's money blueprint. You know, what's the root on their financial tree? And so I figure that out. And if you have to be able, whatever your limiting beliefs are around money or the challenges that you have around money, come up with a plan that we can work on together to be able to grow together and shift together.
LaShawn Holland, how can folks find you? Give us your website and also information if folks want to grab your book.
Yes, the book is BornToMultiplyBook.com, really easy. And my website is LaShawnHolland.com. That's LaShawn with an E on the end.
LaShawn Holland. I'm sorry. Go ahead, LaShawn.
Nope. I would say if you just Google me, it'll pop up.
LaShawn Holland with an E on the end, folks. Get that. The E on LaShawn, not Holland, correct?
Right, LaShawn Hall.
All right. She's
LaShawn.
Yes, she is a wealth coach and author, expert. LaShawn, thank you so much for your energy and your expertise tonight. We so appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
That's the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, December 27th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.